مفتي صاحب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
مفتي صاحب you okay؟
جزاك الله الحمد لله الحمد لله.
Remembering us in your duas.
الحمد لله.
مفتي صاحب, just to announce to our listeners, the number to dial 011-854-1548. You can either come on air or you can leave your question with our engineer. And our SMS number is the SMS number in the mornings, 072-786-1548, or you can email us on air at radioislam.co.za, on air at radioislam.co.za. Mufti Saab, the first question that we have for tonight, I'm sure you may have received this a few times in the past, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran that you are our master. Why do we call our scholars Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, there are some people in the world who feel that we should not be calling the Ulama Ikram Maulana. And whilst I was studying in Darul of Diyobad, it was very strange. One person had written a booklet trying to prove that this word Maulana is only exclusive to Allah Jalla Majdahu. And he posted it to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. And on the envelope, he addressed the envelope to Al-Hajj Maulana, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. And in it, he has written a book refuting what he wrote on the leaf on the cover of the envelope. Nevertheless, this word literally means our guide. Our guide. In utilizing it for Ulama Ikram, the word Maulana is a word of respect, honor, dignity, and we utilize it so that we respect and hold in high esteem our Ulama Ikram as spiritual guides. And Alhamdulillah, the Ulama who are Ulama Rabbani, Haqqani, they are in reality our spiritual guides. So there is no harm in referring to them as our Maulanas or spiritual guides.
Well, this is the next question, an SMS question. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to make dua for a non-Muslim if they are your family?
If obviously the non-Muslim is alive, it is absolutely permissible to make dua to Allah Jalla Majdahu that Ya Allah grant them hidayat and grant them and bless them with the treasure of Iman and guide them onto Islam. And also, let alone making dua, make some constructive, valuable, concrete effort in that direction. Together with dua, make some da'wat in that direction. It is absolutely permissible for you to pray for them. However, if they are deceased and they have passed on, they've gone by, then it is not permissible for you to make dua prayer for them.
Next question, also an SMS question. Assalamu alaikum. Can one pay interest with interest?
The question will be, can one offset interest with interest? Yes, it is permissible.
The next,
however, I must add for these interesting, these questions of interest which are interesting, that one should not willfully, purposefully, voluntarily earn that interest by stating the areas and avenues for utilization of interest. One cannot say, oh, I'm getting more interest in this bank than that bank, therefore I will utilize that bank which is giving more interest. No, you cannot do that. That's number one. This interest must not be earned willfully by the obtainer of that interest. Thirdly, that you should make niyat that I am, because of the political situation and the crime rate, not keeping my money with me, I'm putting it in the bank, and due to the circumstances surrounding bank activity, it is accruing interest. As a result, now I've got some interest. Now you can do something with that interest. Okay. Yeah.
The next question, also an SMS one. After one talaq, how long will it take to end the talaq?
A person, first of all, should know, and there is an advert or a promo on Radio Islam and stating that do not give three talaqs, because one talaq can do the same work which three talaqs does. Unfortunately, many people in rage and anger, instead of issuing sensibly because of valid reasons one talaq, they go on to issue three talaqs, then that gives unnecessary complications and difficulties. So the right course of action is definitely one talaq. Here also, that was realized that although three talaqs is so-called unlawful, but it is valid. Because last week we had a question that I was explaining what we call some things that are like unlawful, but they are still valid. So this is talaq al-muhallaza, three talaqs, unlawful but valid. Now, the one talaq will last and terminate when the female passes through three menstruational periods, meaning that she has her menses three times. So roughly, perhaps 3 months. See, I'm not saying 3 months. I'm saying perhaps 3 months, but after one menstruation period, they'll call it one, the next one, and when the third menstruational period ends, her period of iddat, waiting period, has ended and terminated. As a result, she is now free to marry whomsoever she wants, whomsoever she pleases, including her first husband.
So we have a caller on the line, anonymous sister. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Can you speak up a bit so Mufti Saab can hear you?
Assalamu alaikum. I want to find out, Mufti Saab, if someone gives your baby a gift, example, you know, clothes when the baby is born. Now, when the child grows up and the clothes get small or it gets old or whatever, can you dispose of it at your discretion or give it away? Or what do you have to do? What do you do with these clothes? Because basically it's a child's possession. They've given it for the child. What do you do with the clothes in that case?
Okay, Jazakumullah, sister.
Jazakumullah.
Did you get the question?
Ji. See, when the mother, she is the custodian, guardian, well-wisher, caretaker of the baby. Now, all the gifts that are given to the baby, whether it be cash or kind, now, the mother supposed to be one who will utilize all the gifts for the benefit of the child. As a result, the mother will spend monetary on the child. Those gifts, for example, generally people when they go to visit babies, etc., they give some monetary gifts. However, remember that this is not faraz, wajib or sunnat, that you have to put 100 rand or 50 rand and give it in an envelope for the baby that you're going to visit. That is customary and a ritual. Nevertheless, if that money is received, then the mother should spend it on the child. If the mother or the parents are financially powerful, then they can keep that money aside for the child, for the baby. So upon growing up, that baby will have a monetary financial head start, meaning all the financial monetary gifts that baby got will be in her or his favor. Now, regarding the clothing obviously she has utilized for the baby and the baby outgrows it. On outgrowing it, she may, upon her prerogative, her discretion, that utilize it for someone else, gift it to someone else, or whatever she wants to do with it, she may do with it. She will not be responsible. She may be feeling that, oh, I have to keep this clothing for the baby because it belongs to the baby. No, she is the guardian of the baby. As a result, she can now rightfully dispose of it in a good manner. Ji.
So the next question, an SMS question. Assalamu alaikum. Can you use the same container for istinja and wudu?
It is permissible to do so. The container is not the question to be, or the bone of contention. The content of the container is what we should be worried about, because water itself has various classifications. Tahir, mutahir, tahir and mutahir, and tahir, ghair mutahir, although different classifications of it, in one of our books called Talim Deen, in the first section of Tahara, you get it on our website, alislam.co.za, and you can check up the various categories and classifications and types of water with its ruling. Provided the water is pure and can make pure, then it will be permissible to use and utilize the same utensil container. Ji.
23 minutes past 8, you are listening to the Q&A with Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548. And you can call us 011-854-1548, the SMS number for tonight, 072-786-1548, or you can email us on air at radioislam.co.za. We go back to our SMSs, Mufti Saab. The next one reads as follows. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I am formerly from Durban and now I am staying with Christian relatives in Johannesburg. Outside my room, there is a dog canal, kennel, and that's the direction I face and read my salah. Would my salah be accepted considering the circumstances?
Outside practically every house, there is some unsavory feature activity going on, fortunately, these days. Then, first of all, that in most homes, you look at our homes and the homes of many, that outside there may be some cinema, there may be some gambling house, there may be some shibin, there may be some bury, there may be some illegal activities happening outside the home. That will not affect the ibadat inside your house. So the person, he must never ever discard his salah because of the dog kennel outside or in the same direction as Qibla. He must continue to make the salah regularly, properly, and with steadfastness, with extreme constancy. However, because he is in such a situation, he must make every effort to preserve, protect, and defend his iman. Also, now is a good opportunity to display good character, wonderful personality, and uprightness, so that he, in that Christian environment, spread Islam to those people. Also, he must worry all the time about halal, haram. That is most important, because now he's living in a non-Muslim, non-Islamic environment that he should worry about all the time. May Allah Ta'ala grant him steadfastness.
Ameen. We have an anonymous brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Brother, speak up a little bit so Mufti Saab can hear you loud.
Yes. Mufti Saab, I would like to know, on the public road where there's sugar cane on the road that has fallen off from the trucks, are we permitted to pick that sugar cane?
The sugar cane came out of the truck?
Ji.
On a public road?
Ji.
Okay, I'll answer inshallah.
Jazakumullah for the call, brother.
Okay, and another question?
Ji.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Even you walk into the masjid now, and if the brothers are smoking or they got the cigarette in their mouth, do you greet, make salam to them?
In the masjid, they smoking?
No, as you enter in the masjid, you know, about...
In the courtyard? In the parking bay?
See?
In the parking bay?
In the parking bay.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Jazakumullah. Okay. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Sahab, the first one with regards to the sugar cane.
Now, obviously, the truck was carrying sugar cane belonging to a certain person. And due to some mishap, accident, etc., now the sugar cane has fallen off the truck and lying on a public road. Because it is lying on a public road, does not give it the rule everybody and anybody can take it down. No such thing. That sugar cane has a owner, and unfortunately it has fallen off the truck, and now it does not mean because it has fallen off the truck the ownership has been suspended or broken, or the sugar cane now died and no owner now. No, you cannot stop your vehicle or you cannot run from your house and pick the sugar cane or the oil or the sugar itself or the commodity and take it to your house. That is stealing, that is haram, that should never be done by Muslims. Secondly, what's the second question?
The second question with regard to those who are smoking in the parking bay, should he make salam to them?
Okay, he should make salam to them.
Mm-hmm.
And he should take benefit of making salam and getting the reward of salam. So perhaps he is worried that they are going to reply with the smoke in their mouth, or they are going to reply after taking a puff. But we should look at it positively, that there will be a reward for listening to salam, for giving salam, and for replying salam. There will be tremendous reward. And secondly, when that person gives salam, for that duration, alhamdulillah, he will not be puffing, smoking, or having some smoke in his mouth.
The next question, an SMS question. If one makes wudu with leather socks and then sleeps, when we get up, do we have to take out the socks again and make wudu, or can we make masa?
Masa al-khufayn is a sign of the Ahle Sunnat wal-Jamaat. Very interestingly enough, that in the marginal notes of Quduri, the signs of Ahle Sunnat have been recorded. Fazilat Shekhain, Hubba Tarafain, Masa al-Khufayn, that we regard Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu as most superior amongst the Sahaba, and we love Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and we regard valid the Masa, passing of wet fingers over leather socks. That is the sign of the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. As I just mentioned in passing.
Mm-hmm.
See, the duration of a person in residence, meaning not musafir, is 24 hours from the time the wuzu broke. I'd like to just to explain this, that a person made wuzu, for example, made wuzu at 5 o'clock in the morning, and now put on the leather socks. So you do not count 24 hours from 5 o'clock. You will count 24 hours from any one of the 8 factors that break wuzu. For example, 8 o'clock, the person who wore the leather socks at 5 o'clock, he discharged gas. Now, you will count from 8 o'clock, 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The person now in the day, after Zohr Salat, he slept. So he is within the 24 hours duration. The person can make wuzu and make masa, that is absolutely valid, in order, in place.
Next SMS question, is it permissible to use gold-plated cutlery?
It is permissible, makruh.
Okay.
Makruh because it is tinted with, most of the time, with arrogance, pride, and showing extravagancy, lavishness, and it displays haughtiness and he displays that I've got money and I've got wealth. Although it is permissible, one should try to avoid it.
If you are on a journey, how many rakats would a person read for Zohar, Asr, Maghrib and Isha Salah?
Obviously, the person goes on journey, then every faraz, which is a four, becomes two. So, the Fajr, two faraz remains two, Zohar, four becomes two, the Asr, four becomes two, the Maghrib, three remains three, the Isha, which is four, becomes two, and not forgetting, when you are on Safar, the witr, wajib, the witr, which is wajib, compulsory, has to be performed, and three rakat, as normal, have to be performed. See.
Next question, SMS, assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible for women to shape their eyebrows?
They keep wanting to know the shaping eyebrows. You can shape the eyebrows, the meaning the existing hair that is there, the existing hair on the eyebrows, that can be shaped, not cut. They can shape it. However, that shape it for who? Not for outsiders.
Mm.
Shape it for the pleasure of the husband. Shape it to attract the husband. Shape for beautification for the husband. Not shape it and then adorn even the hijab these days where they leave the eyes open and then the eyebrows are visible and walk around in the malls and bazaars and shape it and color it in such a manner that every other person passes by looks at it. That is not hijab, that is attraction.
Hmm. We have an anonymous brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, brother. Just before you go ahead, there's some feedback coming from your radio. Could you just turn the volume down, please?
Sorry, ma.
Okay, go ahead, Lamantia.
From my house to my business is 120 kilometers. I travel every day. I've been traveling for the last 10 years. Now, do I make my Zohar Namaz two rakats or four rakats for us?
Is that your only question?
Right? Yeah, I'll listen on the air.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Right, did you get the question?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
As a rule, before I answer the question, my humble advice will be that try to have your businesses near your homes. Try as far as possible in this age of crime and hijacking, murder, looting, that try to have your business and try to have your place of work near your place of residence. And this brother who is traveling 120 kilometers, by all counts, he is a musafir. However, he may get worried now that I have been traveling for so many years and perhaps he has been making four rakats of Zohar instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
However, that to alleviate his difficulty, there is one masala. Many people do not know this. In order to become a musafir, one of the preconditions to classify a person as a musafir is he has to make or she has to make intention that I am going to be a musafir. So if this brother, hypothetically, supposedly, he was traveling for the last so many years, 120 kilometers, and did not make a niyat for musafir, then his four rakats at that place will be valid.
Mm-hmm.
To become a musafir, one has to make intention, number one, that I am going to be a musafir, and number two, the distance traversed will have to be one that classifies a person as a musafir, according to our research, 88.86 kilometers. G.
So, Mufti Sahib, if a person, for example, say he's not familiar with the area, he makes intention that he's going from point A to point B. When he reaches point B, he realizes he's done 90 kilometers. In that case, he wouldn't be a musafir.
No.
Okay. Let's go back to our SMS questions. Assalamu alaikum. If a person is reading salam, how far in front can you walk if you don't put anything?
Salat.
Ji.
1.5 safs, provided the masjid is big.
Mm-hmm.
1.5 safs.
1.5 safs. The next question I see on the screen, is it permissible to wear 9-carat gold rings?
We are saying permissible.
Okay. SMS question, if the menstrual cycle is irregular, then what will the maximum period of iddat be?
The iddat, yeah, I presume this is linked to our first, first questions. So the person wants to know when would the iddat period end. Then the rule is 3 menstruation cycles, not talking about regular or irregular. So if the cycle is irregular, then it will be 1, whether it is regular or not, 2, regular or not, 3, regular or not. So when the there are 3 regular or irregular cycles, the iddat period will be over. However, that if this irregular cycle is so-called monitored, and you got a rough estimate of your irregularity, then it can be classified and calculated. That's one. Secondly, if the person has got no cycle at all, and there is menopause setting in, and while that is setting in, that's when there is irregular cycle, then it will be calculated when menopause sets in by estimation. Ji.
Next question, assalamu alaikum. Are clothes sent to dry cleaning park?
It is park permissible.
Okay, the next question, assalamu alaikum. Can you please explain if wudu breaks or salah is invalid if a cat sits on our lap during salah?
The cat has been classified as a clean animal, and if you have a cat, and I presume you have one, that's why you are posing this question. If you have one, then you will realize that it is quite a clean animal and it goes at length to clean itself. And it can be domesticated very easily, that when it wants to pass stool or urine, then it can even make signs that it wants to leave the house and home to go and pass stool and urine. Mm. And after that, it laboriously cleans itself. So when it sits on the person whilst making salat, the salat will not be invalidated.
Anonymous brother on the line, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullah. Brother, speak up a bit.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Can you hear me?
Ji.
Yeah, question for the Mufti.
Mm-hmm.
On the previous program, Mufti Saab stated that it is permissible, short-term insurance is permissible due to the prevalent conditions in South Africa.
Okay.
Right. I can understand when they, when a person insures against theft because of the condition, but is it permissible to insure against accidents? Because this can happen here, it can happen anywhere. Can I listen online?
Okay, no problem. Jazakallah. Mufti Saab, did you get the question?
No, not to you.
The brother says on the previous program, Mufti Saab said that it is permissible to take short-term insurance because of theft. He says now, what happens, can you take out short-term insurance against accidents? Because that is not unique to South Africa, that happens throughout the entire world.
I am of the opinion, and there are other few muftis of the opinion, yes, it is permissible.
Okay. A sister, I think it's a sister, she wants to know that what is better, should she choose nikah or rather take of her old parents?
She should do both.
Okay.
Make nikah and explain to the husband that he's coming, that, see, I have got elderly parents and I would like to serve them also. Can we not make compromise agreement? Because to make nikah is sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And however, the nikah means sunnati. This word sunnat is not used jurisprudically. For example, in the time of Qurbani, we say sunnat abikum Ibrahim.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is a sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. This word is not used jurisprudically. It is used in its literal meaning, that this is a way, pattern, norm of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam, although Qurbani is wajib.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nikah can be farz sometimes, can be wajib sometimes, can be sunnat sometimes, sunnat muqida, sunnat ghair muqida. And nikah can be mubah, permissible sometimes. Nikah can be haram sometimes makruh, sometimes. So, nikah has got all the classifications like how salat got. The lady should now decide whether nikah is farz for her or whether it is permissible for her. And if it is farz for her, meaning that if she does not make nikah, that she is going to sin. In that case, she should make nikah. And if she can contain herself and look after her parents, then it will be permissible for her to make nikah. But in our age, because of our environment and circumstances, it will be good for her to make nikah and also have an understanding husband who will allow her to make khidmat of her parents, which is also an important duty to uplift.
We have an anonymous brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Maulana and Mufti Saab. I'd like to ask Mufti Saab regarding a colleague on the Sharia eyes of employment. Like it's said to say, we know we the Yahud and Nasara, they follow more of a sort of Western way in regard to employment. But in many of the principles that they follow, our business people tend to lapse, shortfall, they're not following the Sharia. In this instance, this brother was employed by two brothers that are partners, and apparently the one went away Umrah, and the partner brother who never employed his brother dismissed him without any reason. How would Mufti Saab judge that on Sharia?
Okay. Mufti Saab, did you get the question?
No, shall I brief it?
Okay, he's basically saying that two brothers are in a business, and the one employed this particular person. The one who employed him went away for Umrah, and his absence, the other brother dismissed him without a valid reason. What is the Sharia ruling?
With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our deen is perfect and complete, simple and easy. And when it comes to employer-employee relationships, we should be very contractual in nature, meaning that there should be no hidden agenda or clauses between the employer and the employee. Now, what has happened here, because the brother never put it down in writing, so the brother who has gone for Umrah, in his absence, the other one has dismissed this brother. Now he does not know who is his real boss, so to say. However, in the light of Sharia, that things should be in writing. Because it is not in writing, therefore, and as a result, the difficulty has arisen. Now, highly possible, the person who employed the brother and now disappeared for Umrah, he, before going at the airport, told his brother, I employed so and so, please dismiss him in my absence. This could be highly possible also. Now, what should be done? That some ulama should be brought in between so that the person, if he says he is dismissed unfairly, unjustly, unduly, he can take the matter up. It is not good and it is not valid to dismiss a person without any Shari valid reason. So when you draw a contract, it should be whether you are paying on for time, are you paying for the day, for the week, for the hour, or are you paying for the work, or are you paying for the entire work, or are you paying for piece job. So all that has to be specified, outlined to the minutest detail, so there be no discrepancies forthwith arising. In this case, the brother should take the matter up.
Okay. We have Jazakumullah for that call, brother. We have another anonymous brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother, you'll have to speak up.
Wa alaikum salam. The name is Minaz.
Ji.
I got a question for Mufti Saab.
Go ahead.
Mufti Saab, I spoke about a week ago regarding a scheme that's going around. A buying scheme, a power buying scheme. Okay, today my question is not about that. I don't want to misrepresent a company on air until I get all the information. What I want to ask Mufti Saab today is, consumer credit. Is it jayz for us to use a consumer credit if I got a retail outlet?
Okay, so you want to know, is it jayz to use consumer credit?
You know, like I've got a hardware outlet. Now, clients want to use the consumer credit to buy goods from me.
Okay. Just hold the line, brother.
Oh, hold the line there. I can't hear him. What is he saying?
Mufti Saab is saying that he's got a shop and the clients want to use consumer credit to buy goods from him. Is this permissible?
If there are two transactions, it is permissible.
Okay. Brother, did you get the answer?
If there are two transactions,
Gee.
Meaning that if they buy from me and I apply to the consumer credit on their behalf.
Yes.
Okay. And then, Mufti Sahab, remember I spoke to you about power buying group about 2 weeks ago. I phoned you on your cell phone.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to get all relative information from them before I have to say something about this on air. Remember you said I must phone you and give you all the details in writing. So I'll get back to you on that one shortly, inshallah.
Okay, brother.
Okay.
Right, assalamu alaikum. Mufti Sahab, he said he's going to investigate that thoroughly, put it in writing and then send it to you.
The brother did speak to me on my cell concerning some power buying, and when I tried to investigate the issue, it sounded like a pyramid system of scam. And then when I said, please, this sounds complicated, I would like to see a fine print, I would like to see the printed material on the transaction, when he approached the firm concerned, they refused to give him the transaction on paper,
mm-hmm.
and they refused to give him printed material. They said, no, attend our seminar. Tell your priest or tell your spiritual leaders, come to our seminar. Now, where are we going to run around seminars? If they give it to us in printed format, we can read it. We are able to read, and then we can determine whether it's permissible.
See.
So as a rule, out there, if someone is selling you something complicated and they do not have anything printed, don't buy it.
Anonymous brother on line one, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Gee, brother, go ahead.
I have a question for Mufti Sahab. If a person is late for salah, up to what time can he read that salah? For example, Fajr salah before sunrise and Zuhr salah and Asr salah.
So you want to know the times for all the five namazes?
The latest that person can read it if a person is late.
For all five?
Fajr and Asr.
Fajr and Asr. Jazakumullah. Mufti Sahab, did you get the question?
He was quite clear.
Okay.
So, alhamdulillah, you got some lines that are very clear. Some who don't want to talk to you, I think.
Maybe it's the one who's saying Bismillah before they start the question.
They say, see this modern he is doing on the night program. He's supposed to be coming back from Bangladesh and relaxing. Now they got him on the evening program with the Mufti.
Yeah.
What they trying to do to this modern now? The Salat, obviously, is going to... Fajr Salat will be terminating when the sun rises. Fajr Salat will be terminating when the sun rises. As far as the Asr Salat is concerned, now this depends on the what you call misal. And according to one school of thought, they say no, 1.5. According to others, they say 2. Generally, what I would suggest to that brother, that please try to contact and get a perpetual salat timetable. Then you'll be able to work out for yourself when the salat ends and when the salat begins. And what he has posed is very, very important, because we should, as Muslims, know when the salat starts and ends. Asr time, that is the late afternoon salah, it starts when the shadow of an object used to measure doubles.
Mm.
That is Asr, and ends at sunset. So Asr starts when the shadow of an object used to measure doubles and ends at sunset.
Okay. Now it's getting hot, Mufti Sahab. The next question reads as follows. It's directed at us ulama. Even Ustad comes late to madrasa and doesn't deduct the amount and give it back to the institution, is that amount haram?
It is definitely not permissible to utilize that money if he does not have any shari valid excuse. Let alone that if that alim is employed by any institute, and he is supposed to be teaching for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is, then during the 2 hours he must teach. In that 2 hours, he cannot be via the cell phone conducting some other business. If he's doing that, he is making khianat and he is neglectful and he is stealing officially the time of that institute. He should deduct that money and give it back to the institute. And if there is such an alim who has been employed, who, without any Shari valid reason, comes late repeatedly, this alim should be brought to book and dismissed. If an alim comes to the institute and instead of going to the classroom to teach for the 3 hours specified, goes and spends 1 hour in the principal's office to gossip and to do other activities, that alim also on the day of judgment is accountable. Does not mean if you are the friend of the principal, of the administrator or governors, you can waste public money and you can waste the funds which are used to pay your salary. This is a very serious issue, and even if you are working for someone, you should be working diligently and on time.
So this ruling will apply to normal employees as well?
Exactly,
Mona. We have an anonymous brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Brother, just a little bit louder. We're having a problem with the lines, Martin.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you much clearer.
Gee, I just like to find out what is the meaning of the name Yusuf?
Yusuf.
And if it's the same as the Christians, so to say, they have a meaning for the name Yusuf.
Okay. Jazakumullah. Muftisab, he wants to know the name of the meaning of the name Yusuf, and is it similar to the Christian meaning?
No. The, remember, all these, as a rule, understand something, that the names that have been now anglicized and turned, like Musa into Moses, and Isa into Jesus, and Yaqub into Jacob, and Yahya into John, and now he gives one example, Yusuf into Joseph. All these are not equivalents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anonymous sister on line one, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Gee.
I just want to find out, after we make wudu,
mm-hmm.
we take off our shoes and then we walk in the room on the carpet which we normally walk with shoes on.
Okay.
And then that same shoes you go into the toilet with and you come out, right? Then you make wudu and you take off your shoes and you walk onto that carpet. Does the wudu break?
Yeah. Okay,
and also, if you just take a full body shower, do you have to make wudu afterwards if you're going to the namaz?
Is that all, sister?
Yeah.
Okay, you can listen on the radio.
Yeah.
Mufti Sahab, the first question is that you make wudu and you come with your shoes perhaps to the door of your room, and then you take your shoes off and you tramp and you walk over carpet that is normally walked over with shoes. Number one, she wants to know, is the wuzu valid and does her feet become napak?
The wuzu is valid. If they touch something, for example, that urine or stool, and they touched it with the feet, then if it comes onto the body, they will have to wash off that area. If they do not touch any stool or urine, then that feet remains pure pak.
Mm-hmm.
Wuzu does not break.
Second question the sister posed was, if you take a full body shower, do you have wudu?
Provided you, obviously, I would like also, Morana, that the listeners must know that shower is not an Islamic bath.
Mm-hmm.
Ghusl is an Islamic bath.
Okay.
And shower is shower.
Mm.
And dipping yourself in the tub, that's not a ghusl. Ghusl is a technical word for an Islamic bath.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had a shower plus now, when the entire body, head to toe, has been wet, and there was gargling taking place, and nose put water put in the nose, then that is an Islamic bath. After that, there is no need to make wuzu.
Do we have a call on the line? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah. Jee, brother, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum to my Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaykum assalam.
A person accepted Islam some time ago, and a mother passed away recently not accepting Islam. Is it permissible for a person to attend a funeral? That's my first question. And after ghusl, is it permissible to kiss the forehead of the deceased?
Okay.
Shukran aliyahu.
Okay, jazakumullah. Mufti Sahab, did you get it?
First one, I think I got it, but the speech I'll prefer.
He said that a person became a Muslim, but his mother did not become a Muslim and she passed away. Can he attend the janazah or the funeral procession?
See, now, as soon as he hears about his mother pass away, then he must go there quickly. And obviously he understands, because he has come from that faith denomination. He will understand more the rituals, the customs attached to it. So prior to the commencement of the rituals and customs, he must get there. And those around, he can pass words of condolence, like that Allah is the one who's got control over everything. We belong to Allah, who is one, and give da'wat of Islam, wahdaniyat, tawheed, and give encouragement towards sabr and patience. Then say, if you require any assistance, I'm here. You are just a phone call away, and leave the place.
Mm-hmm.
We should not follow and conform to any rituals, customs. At the same time, Islam does not want you to go and start shouting and fighting and quarreling. No, Islam does not teach that. And you should not participate in any of their religious activities surrounding the burial. Ji.
The second question that was posed by the caller is that after the ghusl of the mayyit, can you kiss the forehead?
It is permissible to do so. Obviously, provided that it is someone who, for example, the son to the father to the son, in that situation,
mm-hmm.
The son to the mother to the son, the mahram issue has to be taken into consideration. Not the husband onto the wife and the wife onto the husband. Remember that also.
The caller who called in a few minutes ago says he wants to know what is the Islamic meaning of the name Yusuf.
I would not know offhand. Inshallah, phone Sheikh Jad. His problem.
Okay. Muftisab, SMS question. Assalamu alaikum. Is it correct for an Islamic institution to have a mixed gathering fete in order to raise funds for the institution?
What you call... Say it again, brother.
Let me read this once more. Is it correct for an Islamic institution to have a mixed gathering fete in order to raise funds for the institution?
That is fatal for that institute. That is not a fete. That is fatal. That is not an Islamic institute. That is posing like an Islamic institute. That how you can classify, how the people classify Islamic institute and do something completely contrary to Sharia, and then they want barakah, they want blessing, they want mercy of Allah, they want help of Allah, they want support of Allah, and they do something where the first stairway, the first rung, the first link is wrong. The poet says something which means when your foundation is wrong, the building will collapse. And here they have to fund the so-called Islamic institute with an un-Islamic activity. You should not participate, aid, support such institute.
Well, just to ask a further question, these kind of fetes and dinners, etc., have become a norm where institutes have these kind of functions to raise funds. Maybe if this can outline for us, which would be the correct Shari method to do it?
First of all, that it is permissible to have some fundraising function. For example, that you have it, in my opinion, better to have it during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Sharia does not want the females to come out in the night. If it was permissible for the woman to come out at night, then the Sharia should have said that bring your woman to Salah. And we have got 40 hadiths showing that the woman should not be going out in the night for salah, and should not be coming out for during the night. That's one masala. Secondly, that if they're having such a function, it has to be separate, it has to be specified. What people are doing at the moment, that they say, listen, buy a ticket for the dinner. Now this is bay'a majhul. This is a transaction which is unknown. You do not know what you're buying. For example, you go to a restaurant. Then they give you a menu or whatever they give you, and then you look at item so-and-so, which is priced so-and-so. Then you buy it.
Mm.
So that is a sale. You are buying a particular item for a particular price. Now, when you go to these dinners which are held And I think our radio station is forced to make announcements for these things. And also, they have all these Muslim names behind it, Islamic names behind it, whereas they are selling a product to the person and he does not know what he's buying. They should say, no, if you want, you give us a donation, and then you are allowed to come. That also will be questionable, because the person who does not give the donation, he is not allowed to come.
Mm-hmm.
So what they should do, these institutes, they should revisit the site, as you are correctly saying and asking, and look at it again, because what is happening, in most cases, there is discrepancy in the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
They should rather have some products for sale, sell those products, make profit, and fund their institutes.
I see a question here also on the SMS lines, perhaps based on the same question, it's just come in now. The listener wants to know that many masajid rent out their halls, and in these wedding functions, many un-Islamic practices take place. Are they liable or not?
The madrasa hall or the hall attached to the masjid, when they rent it out or when they hire it out, then their income is permissible. However, they can state to the customer, because of its Islamic ethos, we do not want certain activities to take place here. However, after saying your client that, and they now do some Islamic, un-Islamic activities there, those trustees, after prescribing the rules, will not be liable.
The next SMS question, Assalamu alaikum. Can one make salam after reading At-Tahiyyat in the last rakat?
It is permissible to do it as a habit in Makruh, and to leave out the Durood Ibrahim without any Shari valid reason is definitely Makruh.
The time now, 4 minutes past nine, and you're listening to the Q&A program, and the Mufti answering the question is Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Saab, Damat Barakatuhum. And we know we have many SMSs to go through, so just bear with us, make a little bit sabr. We're taking our callers first. We have a caller on line one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
I can barely hear you, sister.
Mulana?
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum. I just want to find out the ladies that is in my class, they all ladies that come from Christian homes as well as me. I want to know if, I know if their parents die, they can go to the funeral. But what about, is it Islamically for a person to go to the other family's funerals? You know, if their families are like, they became Muslim, and the others are not Muslim. How do they, is it permissible in Islam for a Muslim person, if he got families in the house, to go to the funeral, not in the same house, but maybe an uncle or maybe an auntie, because they always ask me and I don't know what to tell them. But I know to your parents you can go, but I don't know if you can go to your families, like far families. Is it permissible in Islam for you to go? We need your families.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Is that your only question?
Jazakumullah.
Sir, did you get the question?
Is she perhaps teaching some children and they want to...
it sounds like that.
Okay. What she should do is, for example, now I get the question as she's teaching children and someone of the non-Muslim child, mother passes, father passes away. Now what the other children should do? She should coordinate the thing very well. And a day later, take the class there for a few minutes there and sympathize with the bereaved and come away.
Okay, let's take a look at some of the questions on the screen. What happens when you have a non-Muslim friend and they pass away? Is it permissible to make dua for them? I think we did answer this question previously.
Yes.
Okay.
Not permissible.
The next question, can interest money be given to a person who is employed, or do you have to give it to someone more eligible?
Try to give it to one who is more eligible. If the person who is employed is not making ends meet and is definitely in need of it, out of dire necessity, give it to him.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. I read istikhara for my business. It was positive 3 times, but months have passed and it's very slow. What must I do?
First of all, that when you say three times, you should not have done it like that. When you got positive results once, you should have terminated the istikhara. Istikhara terminates as soon as you get the inclination, either way, negative or positive. Alhamdulillah, you have made istikhara and you have got positive results. Just stay in there, make your salat regularly, make dua to Allah. Allah will open the way, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. What is the distance a woman can travel without a mahram?
Shari musafir distance.
Jee.
But in our age, that the female should not be traveling alone due to the crime rate in our country.
Okay. Let's go back to our SMS. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Saab, I have some interest money. Can I buy blankets and heaters for the poor people?
If those are really poor people, yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I just wanted to find out if it's accepted to greet a person who drinks alcohol.
If he's a Muslim, then definitely you should greet him, befriend him, talk to him, be nice to him, and try to explain to him diplomatically with full wisdom that this is an evil and this is haram. Bring him back onto the straight path. If he's a non-Muslim, it is permissible to greet.
I've got a hardware shop. We got some builder's gloves in. However, when we checked the invoice, we saw that it was made from pigskin. Number one, is it jais to sell it? And number two, if not, some of my staff already sold 5 pairs. What can I do?
Return the remaining gloves on the valid Shari grounds. That profit that you received from selling of those gloves, give it out in charity.
Okay. The next question reads as follows. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible for ladies to wear imitation jewelry, belly rings, and henna tattoos?
Henna tattoos, whatever the tattoos, that is not permissible. Belly rings, this is not the customs of pious, righteous Muslims. Avoid, do not do that, abstain. The imitation jewelry permissible, not...
Okay. The next question, Assalamu alaikum. My husband seems to be losing interest in me. I have many complications and have difficulty losing weight. Is it right for my husband to marry a second wife?
Very interesting interest. I do not know. You should try to lose some weight. This is not a valid ground for him to try taking another wife. Otherwise, all those ladies who are healthy, it means that their husbands must take another wife. So this is not a valid reason. As soon as the female becomes a little bit healthy and bulky, it does not mean that the husband must now take a second wife. The female, she, inshallah, make dua to Allah and also eat the right food, try to become attractive and beautify herself for the husband.
Maybe the husband should lower the kitchen budget. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Saab, hope you are in the best of health. I got two questions. The first is, if you work in a bank, is your income halal?
Work in that portion of the bank that is not directly involved with interest. Ulama have said that it is permissible. However, constantly make istighfar, seek forgiveness from Allah, and look for another job. As soon as you find another job, take it.
The second part of the question, does insulin break wudu? If there is a drop of blood but it doesn't flow, is your wudu broken?
No, I explained that thing again to me.
The brother wants to know, if he takes his insulin, would it break his wudu? Sometimes when he takes the insulin, one drop comes out but it's not flowing.
As soon as the blood comes out, it will break the wudu.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. If a person is offered gold coins at a much reduced price and it could be stolen goods, can one buy such things?
He himself has answered the question by saying that it is much reduced price. Mm. Looks like it fell off the truck like the sugar cane.
The next question, I won't say controversial, but I would go through it because I don't want the brother to feel that I'm purposely hiding the question. He says, Assalamu alaikum, why do Indian musallis treat black imams and muazzins different to that of Indian imams and masjid and muazzins with regards to trustees, salaries, and the way spoken to them? What is the Sharia ruling regarding such treatment?
This is not a good method. This is completely contrary to the spirit and text of Islam, that we should treat our imam as our imam, irrespective of the color and the place he comes from. And this is clear in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stating, the meaning of it is that even if his head and face is grape-shaped, then you should honor him and respect him. And also, unfortunately, we have got a wrong tendency that the imam that's coming from overseas, pay him less. And do not treat him properly. And I've repeatedly on my program stated, please pay the imam properly, irrespective of which part of the world he comes from, and also increase the salaries of the muazzin. And I've given a benchmark that the trustees and the mutawallis and the governors of the masajid, they, if they can live off the salary that they're paying the muazzin and the imam, then that is good enough. If they cannot live off the salary that they're giving the imam and the muazzin, then definitely the imam and the muazzin are the saints of the day. How are they coming out with that salary? Also, to differentiate on the grounds of where the person is coming from, the imam especially and the muazzin, this is completely un-Islamic. There's no khair, goodness and barakah in this. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be withdrawn from that society and will be taken away from that locality which disrespects the imam. The imam is leading of salat and the imam is our deputy. The imam's position, value and significance we have lost in our sight. We should pay the imam, respect the imam, honor the imam, hold him in high esteem irrespective of where he comes. Remember, he's an alim, he's a molana, he's our guide and he's our spiritual mentor. We should respect him tremendously irrespective of where he comes from and what color he is.
Just before we continue, we have a mayat announcement. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The mayat of marhum Chota Bucks from Shaper's Hair Salon, leaving from Mafa Manzil, flat number 304, leaving the residence at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. Janazah Salah Qarapas 11, proceeding to the Avalon Qabran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and all the marhumin forgiveness and Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. We have a anonymous brother on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Go ahead, brother.
I'd like to ask more. About a belly ring, right? What if the husband likes a woman to wear a belly ring? And the woman's intention, the wife I mean, the wife's intention is solely for the husband's pleasure. Is that possible?
Muftisar, did you get the question?
Ji.
I can answer.
Ji, you can answer.
Before I answer this question, Hazrat Maulana, that this program is supposed to finish at 9 o'clock.
I thought it goes till 10 o'clock. Okay, no problem. We'll conclude after this.
So they brought you in.
Gee.
Now they already overworking you.
Okay.
Right. So nevertheless, I've seen some rulings by some of my ikram from the United Kingdom concerning the belly ring.
Okay.
They have proven that this is not part of an Islamic culture. And this is not part of a Sharia culture. And this is... by way of custom and by way of a specific civilization of a particular nation. Now, the brother is saying this, if I would say, and inshallah the ulama listening, if I am making a mistake, and please contact me to discuss it, I'll say if it is not regarded part of Sharia, and if it is not regarded faras, wajib, sunnah, and if it is only solely for the pleasure of that particular husband, then there may be some room for permissibility. Otherwise, as a rule, which I have stated previously, that this is a thing should not be encouraged.
Okay. Muftisab, I think we'll leave it there. There are many SMSs unanswered. I'll just have to ask the listeners to resend them in on next week's program, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Not a problem, and jazakumullah for your time, Muftisab.
Jazakallah.
Okay. You're listening to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. That brings an end to our Q&A with Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Saab, Damat Barakatuhum. From myself, Suleiman Rabat, standing in for Maulana Hamad Timol this evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.